Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, really? What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio on this July 3rd. A lot of people are enjoying a day off today, nice holiday day. So if you're tuning in on your day off, finally getting a chance to watch us live, howdy. Glad to have you here. We're here live every day, every weekday, that is, 3 p.m. Pacific time till 5 p.m. Pacific time. Our first hour, the Marijuana Agenda, is much more official. We've got the news segment and a couple of segments from our partners, the number one organizations in marijuana reform in their various niches. And we've also got regional reports that we put forth. So you can catch what's going on throughout the rest of the nation, all every corner of the United States, plus Canada and the United Kingdom. It's all part of the Marijuana Agenda, weekdays at 3 p.m. live here at live.mjagenda.com, absolutely free. Followed by this hour, Toker Talk Radio, 4 p.m. Pacific time, which is a more laid-back hour. Toker Talk Radio hour is much more about, hey, what's in the news? Let's talk about the news kind of thing. Plus, we got a live phone line. It's right there. Yeah, right there. That just went by. But our live phone line is 650-LEGAL-MJ. If you'd like to chime in, it's a 24-hour message line. You can record a message there or you can call us live and we'd be glad to talk to you. Excited about the 4th of July holiday. I'll be heading up to Fort Vancouver again to watch my cousin Kenny play music at the big old, you know, they say the Fort Vancouver fireworks is the largest fireworks show west of the Mississippi. But you know what? I travel a lot. And everybody west of the Mississippi says their city's fireworks show is the biggest fireworks show west of the Mississippi. So I don't know how big it is. How do you even measure that? Is it by how many that you light off, you know, or how long does it take to light them off? Or how much of the sky do they cover? How do you measure that stuff? I don't know. But it's going to be 4th of July weekend. It should be a good time. Temperatures are nice out here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. But we got plenty of marijuana news to get to today. And one of the stories that I want to talk to is coming out of Benzinga.com. It put together some consumer research called Consumer Research Around Cannabis, or CRACK. And they did data research on 85 cannabis markets in the U.S. and Canada. So when we come back from break, we're going to take a look at some of that data. Also, we've got the first legal sales have taken place in the state of Nevada. I have yet to hear of anybody getting busted for the public toking misdemeanor, $600 public toking misdemeanor. I'm sure somebody probably did. We'll keep our eyes open for any news of that. And there's an interesting story to go off the warpath here a little bit, because we also talk about politics here in Toker Talk Radio. This isn't just a talk show about marijuana. This is a talk show where people who smoke marijuana talk about politics. And a lot of those politics can affect marijuana. And lately, the story on everybody's mind has been the mental illness displayed by the current occupant of the White House, Donald J. Trump, who has been going into a series of juvenile tweets, sexist tweets against Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC for their Morning Joe show. Then he posted a video of him doing, you know, body slamming Jim McMahon at WWE, except the video has a CNN logo over the head of Vince McMahon. So it shows the president body slamming a stand-in for CNN and pounding away at him. And it's just, it's a bizarro world we're living in, isn't it? Isn't it a weird world we're living in where it's like the president of the United States has the same sort of Twitter agenda, social media acumen as a disgruntled middle schooler trolling a girl that won't pay attention to him? It's pretty sad. And it's starting to affect our standing in the world. Germany, you know, downgrading their association with us, saying they can't count on the United States to be a leader in the free world anymore. You know, I remember living through George W. Bush, the two terms of George W. Bush, and how we all thought, oh my God, George W. Bush is destroying our standing in the world. Everybody thinks we're idiots and they can't stand our president and they think he's a dummy. And oh my God. Now you look back and it's like, hey, you know what? George W. Bush wasn't such a bad guy. George W. Bush wasn't so bad. I mean, we're just, 6 months into this Trump administration and already the rest of the world is just can't believe what's happening. I can't believe we've got a president that tweets like this. It's, yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have that information from that survey on the typical marijuana consumer. Breaking stereotypes every day.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of The Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. For your $4.20 monthly donation, you'll receive over 20 hours of original first-hour podcasts, plus other materials only available to paid subscribers. Or for just $9.99 a month, become a VIP patron. You'll get over 40 hours of podcasts for the complete program, including Toker Talk Radio, plus ad-free downloads of the segments heard on The Marijuana Agenda. Plus, VIPs get exclusive access to the video replay of the two-hour live stream show and downloads of the spreadsheets and charts I provide from my years of curating marijuana data sets. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at MJAgenda.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I reject the idea that we're going to be better placed if we have more marijuana.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Freedom Leaf Preview with Steve Bloom from Freedom Leaf Magazine. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. Arr. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for some more Toker Talk Radio, and we're going to go to the phone lines because we have a live caller calling in. Welcome to the show. You're on Toker Talk Radio.
This is Virginia Speech-to-Speech, Operator 938-1F with a call. And the caller has a message. It's, hi, Radical Russ and listeners of Marijuana Agenda. I was calling today on this wonderful 4th of July weekend to give you a little update on my petition and to ask for your support. We currently have 2,765 signatures. However, we need many more. please help us all out. You can follow me on Twitter by typing in the @ and my name, Creed Leffler. That's spelled CREEDLEFFLER. Or you can kindly follow Radical Russ. That's RADICALRUSS. And all the other social media platforms. Thanks again.
Thank you so much to Creed Leffler for calling in once again. We met Creed out in Virginia at the beginning of this year, and he's fighting to get cannabis off of Schedule 1 so there could be more medical research for it. Check out Creed's petition. You can follow him at Creed Leffler. That's C-R-E-E-D, like Apollo Creed. And Leffler, L-E-F-F, as in Frank, L-E-F-F-L-E-R, Creed Leffler. Thanks for calling in, Creed. Appreciate that. And checking the chat room, I was noticing some discussion about heat signatures. You know, when we have the cops that have those thermal imaging guns, and they'd use those to look at a house to see if there's any heat signatures coming off that house to indicate, you know, a grow room, massive amounts of lights, or anything like that. And so the questions are going on in the chat room is whether or not those are legal. Well, they were at one point, but they have been declared unconstitutional by our Supreme Court. And the basic idea is that using an electronic device that allows the cops to gain greater surveillance of something that than they could with their own senses is a problem. It doesn't extend to drug dogs, because drug dogs can use their nose where a cop couldn't smell that kind of stuff. But with electronic devices, I do believe the Supreme Court has mandated that's unconstitutional. I know there was another case, too, and Justice Scalia had a lot to do with this, the late Justice Scalia, where cops would take drug dogs to someone's front door and then just run them by the front door to see if they'd alert, and then they'd, you know, use that to go after the people. And this was declared unconstitutional as well, with Justice Alito basically saying that the curtilage of one's home, which was not just the home, but the porch around it, the yard and so forth, is all a part of your Fourth Amendment rights as well. So you couldn't just bring a drug dog for no probable cause, just for the hell of it. Like, let's go to someone's door and see if we can smell something. That's unconstitutional as well. To the best of my understanding, I think I'm right on both of those, but we'll be extra sure and look at that during the break. So no, I don't believe they can use the heat imaging guns unless they've already got probable cause and a warrant to be able to use them against your house. Of course, it's always a lot easier just to have it legal. You don't have to worry if you're kicking out any heat or not. Also, we're getting some reports. Jackie Newberry in our chat room is posting some really good links to some alternate stories and stopthedrugwar.org. We appreciate everyone posting links. Also, don't forget, we've got a contributor link up on mjagenda.com. If you look up the contributor section, you can post your own posts at MJ Agenda. So if you've got news links, things you'd like me to take a look at, or you just want our audience to know about, post them there in our creator section, and you can keep adding to the marijuana agenda. Now, speaking of our marijuana agenda, we were discussing the data on the typical medical marijuana consumer. So there's been all sorts of research firms, ArcView, Viridian, New Frontier Data, but these guys are mostly doing it at the business level, right? What's going on at the consumer level? So there's a group called Consumer Research Around Cannabis, or crack, and CRAC. And so they took a look at consumption habits and non-marijuana related conduct, like cars they drive, income, house value, what kind of insurance, and so forth. 85 markets in the US and Canada. And looking at some of this data is quite interesting. So first of all, we find that the household income, and they were comparing in New York State between folks in Buffalo versus folks in Albany. They've got a bunch of information on that. And then they compared people across a few different cities. So we've got Chicago, Phoenix, Minneapolis, Denver, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Columbus, and Las Vegas. And the average of people being employed full time. They compared in those eight cities. And keep in mind that Denver and Las Vegas have recreational legality. The rest of them are just medical marijuana. And they wanted to compare, are medical marijuana patients working full time as compared to similar people in that demographic that don't use cannabis? So like in my case, I'm a, you know, almost 50-year-old white guy, right? So compare me, 50-year-old white guy that smokes pot versus average 50-year-old white guy. Do I work, are guys like me more likely to be working full time than people that aren't consuming cannabis? And here's what they found. Only in one of these cities out of 100 did they find the medical marijuana patients were less likely to be full time employed. That was Phoenix. They got a 95 on a scale of 100. Now, if you hit 100 exactly, that means you're exactly the same as the control group, right? If you get lower than 100, then you're less likely to be full-time employed. You have more than 100, you're more likely to be full-time employed. So they found in Denver 101, Las Vegas 106, Baltimore 115, Columbus 129, Chicago 137, Minneapolis 144, and Pittsburgh 177. So Pittsburgh, 77% more likely to be full-time employed than a non-cannabis user. And this is among the patients whose most important reason for using cannabis is chronic and recurring pain. So what that tells us is that access to medical cannabis is putting people back to work, is getting people who are suffering from severe chronic recurring pain, giving them the kind of relief they need to be full-time employees. Now, that's not compared to a baseline of people that use it for chronic pain or demographics who are also in chronic pain, right? So we're talking about chronic pain patients versus everyone else. We find more likely to be at a household income of $50,000 or more in half of the cities. And in the other half of the cities, real close. Denver was at 90, Las Vegas and Chicago, 96, Baltimore, 99. The rest of them above 100. We were less likely to be two income families, Minneapolis and Denver, far less likely, 61 and 79. But the rest of the cities above the 100 mark for being two income families. Again, these are for patients suffering from chronic pain. And finally, how many of the chronic pain patients were white collar workers, you know, clerical, business, that kind of stuff, as compared to the general population? In Phoenix and Denver, slightly less, but the rest of the eight cities above the 100 mark. So what we're finding here is in these cities that have been surveyed, the chronic pain patients using cannabis are more likely to be white-collar workers, more likely to be from two-income families, more likely to make more than $50,000 a year, and more likely to be full-time employed. We also find that the people are generally well-insured. Three out of four people have insurance, except for in the cities of Phoenix and Minneapolis. Every other city was three out of four or more. And we find that most of these people have been visiting their doctors on a fairly regular basis. So this idea that medical cannabis patients are somehow just faking it, somehow going to a doc in the box and just getting this for their recreational use, is debunked by this kind of data. It shows us that, no, we're not talking about the stereotypical slacker, unemployed stoner loser. We're talking about well-educated people with moderate to high incomes who work white-collar jobs full-time and have insurance. And part of what enables them to go back to work full-time is the medical cannabis, their access to that medical cannabis that keeps that pain at bay and allows them to be able to provide for their families. You can find this data at benzinga.com. We'll paste this up in our chat room as well. And keep in mind, the links for all of the stories we talk about on Toker Talk Radio are found on our Patreon page. You can find it at mjagenda.com. We'll provide links to all these stories we talk about so you can learn in depth a little bit more and pass them along to the rest of your friends.
You can't handle the truth.
I can handle the truth, actually. I prefer the truth. The truth is, it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. You be safe, I'll be safe. Meet you back here in 2 minutes.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And one of the parts of the American dream is we're going to come down very, very hard on this massive drug problem.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for Police for Reform with Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Toker Talk Radio. We're going to talk about some politics because I'm fascinated by the President of the United States and his Twitter habits. I mean, I get into Twitter wars, right? If you follow my account, at Radical Russ, you've seen I've gotten into some Twitter wars. I've posted some memes in my day. I've gotten into some name calling and some fights. But I'm not the President of the United States. You know, it's just weird to think in the first place that the President of the United States has a Twitter account and not the at POTUS account, you know, like the official Twitter account for the President of the United States. No, he's got the real Donald Trump one, his own personal account that he keeps tweeting on. And it's just amazing what he'll let get out there, and how amazing, even more amazing, is the Republican Party and their ability to just excuse everything that he's doing in these tweets. People that are supposedly, you know, the party of Christianity and the party of family values. You know, like how many times do we have to deal with that in elections, hearing the family values, right? But now they got a guy that in office that talks about grabbing women by the pussy and talks about fighting and punching people and, you know, get that guy out of here and knock him out. And all those evangelicals and serious Republican types are all backing him up. They're all back. And they, you know, they'll say, oh, his latest tweet was very disturbing. Very disturbing. Not disturbing enough for me to actually do anything about it. Not disturbing enough to invoke the 25th Amendment and boot this guy out of office. But, you know, just disturbing in the sense that it makes us look bad. Disturbing in the sense that we'll keep an eye on it until it starts to affect our electoral possibilities. So it's amazing to me, like I said, how the Republicans and their mouthpieces are just backing up Trump. And what's really fun, too, is he'll say something. And then, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders or Vice President Pence or somebody else would get on TV and say, well, what the president meant. And, well, gee, it was a little inflammatory, but this is a president who bought. And they'll try to explain it. And then the very next thing, he'll get on TV or on Twitter and openly contradict what they just said. Make them look like shit. Throw them under the bus. So it's just amazing to me that how this manages to stay afloat, that the same kind of people who clutched their pearls and fainted at the notion that the sitting president might have lied about a blowjob are now forgiving things that if this were Barack Obama doing this, they would have burned down the White House already. And to get some perspective on this, all you got to do is look back at the way they responded to Obama, particularly the folks at Fox News, how they responded to Obama in certain situations. And just imagine if Obama was doing what Trump is doing now. And this comes courtesy of one of my favorite writers out there on the internet, the Rude Pundit. You can find him at rudepundit.blogspot.com. So, for example, in 2010, in the midterms, President Obama said that Latinos needed to vote their interests. That's it. Latinos need to vote in their own best interest. Stuart Varney on Fox News said, quote, it is unpresidential. It's highly divisive. Highly divisive. Encouraging Latinos to vote their own interests is unpresidential. Right? And this compared, right. Unpresidential to get people to try to vote compared to you can grab them by the pussy. We're supposed to, but that's not unpresidential, apparently. All right, what else do we got here? In 2009, remember in 2009, Kanye West was jumping up on the stage and I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had the best album, that kind of shit, right? And President Obama remarked on that and said Kanye West was a bit of a jackass. A jackass, you know, just a jackass. And John Scott on Fox said, quote, if the most powerful man in the world says something unpresidential on a live mic, is that news or not? Unpresidential. Called Kanye West a jackass. That was unpresidential. But Megyn Kelly bleeding out of her whatever, or Mika Brzezinski bleeding from a facelift. No, that's not it. He called Kanye West a jackass. That's awful. Back in 2010, Brian Kilmeade, you know, from Fox and Friends, the dumbest one. Brian Kilmeade was on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and asked about Obama going on the Tonight Show prior to him, not that same night, but at a prior, event, right? And said, do you think this was unpresidential about Obama being on the late night show on Jimmy Fallon's show? That was unpresidential. Unpresidential. Meanwhile, we've got a president of the United States who is doctoring a video of him performing in the WWE and slapping a CNN logo on it to indicate how much he wants to body slam the media. But Obama on the Tonight Show, that was unpresidential. How about when President Obama was criticizing Fox News and Greta Van Susteren, back when she was on Fox News, Greta Van Susteren said, quote, I don't think that a president should ever look unpresidential and get into a food fight, end quote. And so Obama calling out Fox News, highly unpresidential, but Trump calling CNN fake news and calling it the failing New York Times and calling fake news on MSNBC. Haven't heard a thing from the Fox News hosts about that, about it being unpresidential. Haven't heard much about that, have we? No. And then Kellyanne Conway. Let's take this all the way back. Kellyanne Conway. And she was on Sean Hannity's show. And she had said, and this was just a year ago, folks, 2016. She said, quote, "I always find it to be so undignified and so unpresidential for President Obama to pick on what he considers to be right-wing media. You're the president of the United States. Go destroy ISIS and get millions of women out of extreme poverty, please. That's your day job." End quote. Yeah, a year ago, she was giving Obama shit for picking on poor Fox News because he should go fight ISIS or do something that's part of his, you know, day job. What has Kellyanne been saying lately about Trump when he's taking his time to tweet against Morning Joe? Nothing about his day job, I'm sure. No, she says it's great that the president has Twitter and he can bypass the media filter and talk straight to the people. It's amazing how this has switched over, hasn't it? Amazing what's acceptable now to the Republicans. Keep in mind, all the times Republicans lost their collective shit over President Obama. Remember when Obama wore a tan suit? He wore a suit, a tan suit. Oh my God, that's not right. It's not black, it's not a black suit. It's not a brown suit. It's not, it's too light. That's not presidential. Remember when that picture came out where Obama was kicked back in the desk and had his feet up on the desk in the Oval Office? Oh my God, he's disrespecting the Oval Office. He put his feet up. Never mind the fact that people showed that very day pictures from George W. Bush doing the very same thing. Nobody freaked out about that, but Obama's got his feet on the desk. How about the golfing? Remember when a president going golfing was a sin? Remember how the right wing freaked out about, oh, Obama's off golfing again. Off golfing when the Middle East is falling apart and the terrorists are all going to kill us and take our women and but now you got Trump has been on like his 33rd golf trip since he's been in office. He's been on more golf trips since he's been in office than Obama in like his whole first term. Every single thing they could find to freak out about Obama, they did, but now Trump is doing things that are 10 times worse, 20 times worse. Silence, not a peep out of that side. And if it didn't give you the idea or the recognition that what this is about for a lot of people, and I would say much more so on the right than the left, and this is one of our problems on the left, to be honest with you, is the people on the right play this like it's sports, like they're on a team. And you must contribute to the team winning, and you can't fight against the team. So as far as they're concerned, Trump is the quarterback of their team. And it doesn't matter if he's a womanizing, whiskey drinking, whatever sin you could possibly imagine. It doesn't matter because he's the quarterback of their team, and they must support their team. Our side, the left, we tend to care about things like integrity and telling the truth and being honest and having some, you know, some basic skills, some competence for the job that you might be taking. And so that presents a problem because on our side, we're not always about winning. We're about doing the right thing. And so if this one set of people thinks this is the right thing and another set of people thinks this is the right thing, well, those sides don't get along, and then you end up with the left dividing itself and the right can get someone like Donald Trump elected. Man, don't you wish we had a time machine? You could go back just 5 years. Remember, go back to 2011 when Donald Trump started the whole birther thing. When he was on that whole birther thing with Obama. Obama wasn't born in America. That crap. Go back to that time and tell people that in 6 years, Trump would be president. And no one would believe you. It'd just be, you're crazy. I'll bet you $1 million. We could make a lot of money on that bet these days, don't you think? Well, we survived two terms of George W. Bush. Can we survive another 3.5 years of Donald Trump? Will we even make it to 3.5 years on on Donald Trump. I think if it gets bad enough that the House Republicans start looking at Donald Trump's going to weigh them down and it's going to lead to a 2018 electoral bloodbath, that same Republican tendency to be the team players that our team has to win, if they start seeing their quarterback is going to take them down, they'll get rid of the quarterback. But they won't do so until it appears that having Trump at the top of the ticket, or having Trump as the leader of their party, is going to cost them the House. So that's why it's important during this 4th of July break for everyone to get in touch with their representatives, to call the congressional switchboard and call your representative, especially if that representative is a Republican, and let them know they're losing your vote because of Donald Trump. The more they start to hear that, you're losing my vote because of Donald Trump, the more likely we're going to get Trump out of office. Now, that opens up the possibility of a Pence or a Ryan. We'll talk about that some other day.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Hi, I'm Keith Strop. I'm a 72-year-old lawyer, and I first smoked marijuana in 1965 when I was a freshman at Georgetown Law School, and I've been a regular smoker ever since. There is absolutely nothing wrong with a responsible use of marijuana by adults, and it should be of no interest or concern to the government whether we smoke or why we smoke. When we founded Normal in 1970, only 12% of the American people supported legalizing marijuana. Today, roughly 60% of the American people support full legalization of marijuana. They've come to understand that marijuana prohibition causes far more harm than the use of marijuana itself. It's time we ended marijuana prohibition and stopped treating marijuana smokers like criminals. If you agree, please visit our website at normal.org and sign up for our free newsletter. We are only incidentally talking about marijuana. We are really talking about personal freedom.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the liberal agenda, but with profits. Ka-ching.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the UK Cannabis Chronicle from the UK Cannabis Social Clubs. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. 38 after the hour. Speaking of Donald Trump, I have a quote for you. I have a very important political quote. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in the accents familiar to his victims, and he appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to be feared. End quote. That quote comes to us from 42 BC. Cicero, the Roman statesman, helped chronicle the fall of the Roman Empire, points out that a nation cannot survive treason from within. And that's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with treason. And the Republicans know they've got to cheat to win. They know that most of the people support what's going on the left as far as the ideas of higher minimum wage, as far as universal health care, dealing with climate change, all of these issues that the left is championing. And we even saw, you know, the candidate from the left get 3 million more popular votes. But in order to win, there was that weaponized information coming out of Russia, the micro-targeting. Richard Clark was just on Bill Maher's show. Richard Clark, the one who was hair on fire before 9/11, the intelligence guy before 9/11 that was saying, hey, we're not paying attention to this whole bin Laden thing. We ought to pay attention to this. That guy, the guy who was right. He's also been at the forefront of warning us about cyber attacks and how our internet infrastructure and our connected networks were going to be the next theater of battle. This is where wars would be fought. He's been saying this for decades. And he says that the Russian meddling in our 2016 election was the largest psychological warfare operation, largest successful psychological warfare operation in history. And people don't understand that, you know, they think about this hacking part, and they think that's the big deal, that they were trying to hack the voting machines, they hacked Podesta's emails and the DNC, and that was a problem because that information was then used and timed to, you know, cause maximum damage to the Democratic candidate at the time. Yes, it would have helped for the Democratic candidate not to be a shitty Democratic candidate, not to offer so many possible opportunities for that weaponized information. But nonetheless, that was part of it, this Russian interference. But that's not the big problem, according to Clark. The big problem, according to Clark, was the bots, was the troll bots that were put forth by the Russians, the ones that would micro-target specific voters in specific states that were on the fence one way or the other. Maybe they were a strong Bernie supporter that would have voted for Hillary, but if you give him enough of a push, he wouldn't. Or someone who was an independent who didn't know whether they're going to go with Trump or Clinton, but if you pushed him just enough, they'd go to Trump. And they micro-targeted these people based on their profiles, based on their Facebook posting, just did a massive data sieve of all of their social media and all everything that they do and say online, and we're able to micro target those people and push them just enough to get them over off of that Clinton vote and get the guy they wanted into office. And that's what Clark says is the biggest problem, and that we're not doing a damn thing about that. And it's going to happen again in the next election. Now, the Trump folks, the GOP, might be thinking that, you know, maybe the Democrats will be sensible and not for the third time run Hillary Clinton in 2020. There is chatter out there about Hillary Clinton running again. Please, God, no. But there's talk about it. But assuming that doesn't happen, they figure part of the way they were able to get Trump in is because, well, the Democrats did run the only candidate that could have lost to him. You know, did pick the one person who Trump could actually beat. So maybe they get smart, and this time around in 2020, they pick somebody far more popular, somebody that could beat Trump, even with the help of Russian meddling, psyops and vote machine hacking or whatever else. So that's where you're hearing about this President Trump voter commission thing that he's doing. You know, he's been floating this, and the right wing's floated this idea for a long time, and it's a classic example of distract you from the real crime, right? And they want to make this fear that, oh my God, there's voter fraud. There's terrible, terrible voter fraud out there. Tons and tons of voter fraud. People voting illegally, people voting twice. And that's why Democrats win, because they're cheaters and they're getting all this voter fraud. They're getting the illegal aliens to come in and vote, and it's all fraud. Now, every reliable, nonpartisan fact-finding commission that researches allegations of voter fraud has found, undeniably, in every case, there is no voter fraud. you get one or two or three, like single digit numbers where you can find there was a fake ass vote that, of course, would have no chance of swaying the election whatsoever. Now, Republicans will try to fool you. They'll try to fool you. They'll go to the Secretary of State's office. They'll pull up the voter registrations. They'll say, aha, here's a John Davis in City A, and here's John Davis in City B. See, John Davis is registered to vote twice. John Davis is voting twice. Well, you know how many John Davises there are? I know four. I know four guys named John Davis. So there's that possibility that happens. Even sometimes when two people have the same, you know, when you look at a large enough state and a common enough name, you can find two people the same name, same birth date even. Or same name, same last four of their social, just from random chance. And you get the situation where people move from one place to another place, one county, one precinct to another. And if you find people multiply entered in that fashion, it's not an issue of fraud. It's not an issue of someone committing voter fraud. It's an issue of these databases are so behind the times and we haven't got the kind of laws and procedures to keep our registrations up to date. But that does not indicate fraud. That does not indicate that people took advantage of being registered in two different places and then went and voted in those two different places. Again, when you try to look for that, you don't find it. You find it in the single digits. That is all a huge distraction from what's really going on. And that is voter suppression. Republicans know the fewer people who vote, especially working class and minority voters, the fewer of them vote, the more likely Republicans win. This was found by our Supreme Courts. They had cases in North Carolina where the North Carolina Secretary of State, according to the courts, had targeted African Americans with surgical precision, they said. Surgical precision. They targeted these certain voters. And add to that gerrymandering, the GOP states, you know, state houses that create these little salamander-like districts to specifically select their set of voters. Used to be the voters picked their representatives. Now the representatives pick their voters. They stack all the minority voters into one district. So rather than there be a chance of being six Republicans, four Democrats, let's stick all the Democratic voters in one district so there's nine Republicans, one Democrat. Then you find voter suppression by not supplying the polling places, changing where the polling places are, not having enough supplies at those places, having absurdly long lines, not enough voting machines, changing where the location of the polling place will be, stopping early voting, Saturday voting, fighting against motor voter laws. If there is a way to make voting harder, Republicans are there pushing it. That's the real voter fraud that goes on in this country, is taking from people their rights to vote, suppressing their voices. That's the real voter fraud that goes on in this country. So what's happening now is the Trump administration has concocted this federal voting fraud panel, or whatever the hell they're calling it, commission. And they wrote a letter to the secretaries of state in all 50 states saying, hey, send us all your voter info. We want to know who they are, where they live, how old they are, what's the last four of their Social Security number, how are they registered, etc. This is the Republicans trying to do on a national level what they've been doing on the state level for decades now. They want to do federal targeting in such a way as to ensure the most suppression in places that would vote Democratic and the most encouragement in places that will vote for Trump. Now, fortunately, a couple dozen of states, maybe not quite that many, have recognized this as the trick that it is and are currently working to make that so it's not in effect. These states are basically telling Trump to go stuff it. They're saying, we're not going to send you any of our information. At least we're not going to send it all with the Social Security numbers and that kind of information. And in some of these states, they can't. It's against the law for them to be able to violate privacy that way without a subpoena, to be able to send this kind of information to the federal government. And again, I'm astounded because I remember growing up in Republican Idaho, surrounded by very conservative people who told me, oh my God, the federal government's coming. They're going to federalize everything. They're going to put us in the UN's one world order. There'll be no sovereignty, and the government's going to come and take a list and going to round us all up. Where are those guys? I need those guys back right now, because that's what the federal government's doing now. But because the federal government's got an R behind its name, because it's got Republican in the brand, because they're flying the flag and saying they're going to make America great again, the same people who are so ready to tell me how much we need the Second Amendment to defend from a tyrannical government, those same people are the first ones lining up to support this agenda, to support this administration. That is a traitor from within, the traitor from within that Cicero warned us about over 2,000 years ago. That's what we're facing right now. I know I'm not talking about marijuana much this hour, but tomorrow's the 4th of July, damn it. And I love this country, and I fear for our future. I won't be around here in 50 years, but maybe some of you will. Maybe some of my nieces and nephews will be around, and I want this to be the same kind of beautiful country that I always believed it could be.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
This November, whether you see the words medical marijuana on your ballot or not, the issue is there. From the halls of Congress to your state capitol or city hall, politicians are already making decisions on medical marijuana policy on your behalf. This election, make sure they are representing you. Every vote is a vote for medical marijuana.
Visit votemedicalmarijuana.org today.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the gay agenda, only with better music.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for the voice of the industry from the National Cannabis Industry Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Shanna, your head to David, PKA Dirtball.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, to close up shop today on Independence Day Eve, I want to talk about this case out of Denver where they busted 62 people so far as part of this supposed marijuana ring, illegal conspiracy, a marijuana trafficking ring. Supposedly the largest trafficking ring busted since marijuana was legalized in Colorado. Which, first of all, I don't know why this is a shock to anyone that, like, after marijuana is legalized, some people will still break the law. Like, really? You thought that? See, I think what happened is we fought for legalization. We said, look, legalize marijuana, you'll reduce the black market, right? Because, you know, people will go to stores and they won't go to dealers as often. And I think the other side, being the binary thinkers they are, things are good or bad, black or white, right? they heard marijuana legalization will end the black market. Now, I don't know of any of us that campaigned saying that. I always said reduce the black market. But if some people said it would end the black market, they were wrong, because you can never end a black market. There will always be an illegitimate underground market. If there are regulations, if there is overhead, if there is taxation, somebody will operate illegally to make the profit they can make from not having to pay for the overhead, the taxation, the regulation. There's black markets in purses and DVDs and shoes even. So, yeah, are people going to grow weed and sell it on the underground market? Yeah, of course. Yeah, they're doing it here in Oregon. They're doing it in Colorado. The people came up buying weed from a guy, and people came up growing weed and selling it to a guy or a gal, right? And that's not going to stop. If you've been getting your weed from a guy for 10 years, and you get about once a month, you go buy an ounce and he sells it to you for $200. Why are you going to stop doing that if suddenly a pot shop opens up down the street selling it for $240 an ounce? Why are you going to stop? I'm sorry, I got to stop buying from you because weed's legal now. You're not going to stop. You might stop into that pot shop to see what they have for sale, what sort of different strains they have. Maybe you want to get some edibles from time to time. But if you got a good source for a good strain, something that works for you, you're not going to stop going to that. So no, it's never going to eliminate the underground market. You really want to eliminate underground market. What you got to do is make underground market legal. Make what people are doing as legal as you can. Make that, you know, give people weed dealer license, farmer market license, whatever you'd want to call it. And if you did that, you could eliminate some of it, but not all of it. Well, anyway, they had this operation in Denver, and they called it Operation Toker Poker. Now, immediately, everyone I told this to in our world said, Toker Poker, isn't that the little the cowboy boot shaped thing you put on your Bic lighter that's got the little retractable toker, the retractable poker on it that you can ream out your pipes? Yeah, that's it. The Toker Poker, right? It's got a little damping, you know, nub on the end of the boot and all that. Yes, the Toker Poker, that. Well, I finally found out why they called it Operation Toker Poker. The cops don't know Toker Poker. They don't know that. What they know is these 62 people, a lot of them were family or high school friends who played poker together. So they meant poker like the card, not like card game, not like poker like poke your pipe out. They're calling it Toker Poker, like people who smoke pot playing poker. Well, here's the unintended consequence of this. By calling it Operation Toker Poker, you got Matt Bodenchuk and his wife, Leslie. They've been making these Toker Pokers for years. And they sell great. I see them at every cannabis event I do. Someone's selling some Toker Pokers, and they sell great. They've been just racking up the sales and growing and growing and growing. And when you do these kind of sales, a lot of what they do is through online. And so Toker Poker, when you put Toker Poker into Google, their product pops to the top. It's number one. And people pay good money to make that happen. I got a good friend who makes his living as a search engine guy. He optimizes websites to guarantee they will pop into the top one, two, or three on Google. So Matt Bodenchuk says, quote, if you've ever looked for Toker Poker online, we were all over the first page of Google, he said, noting that after numerous media outlets covered Wednesday's indictments, quote, we're down at the bottom of the Google search. I don't know how that's going to affect our sales, but I know it's going to. So he had set aside money to grow his company. He's had to take that money and instead reinvest it back in SEO. It's going to cost $20,000 to $50,000. To get him back at the top of Google. So that's just another way law enforcement messes with our community. Have a happy 4th of July, everyone. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com. You think it's
you're giant, you're rodent, you're smoking. You take a seat, you manage, you're growing, you're giant, you're rodent, you're smoking. You take a seat, you manage, you're growing, you're giant, you're rodent.